Hello, and welcome to the August 2008 edition of Hot Type, Security Books and Audio. I'm Billy Hurley. As always, our Hot Type podcast bring you free excerpts from recently published information security books, read by the authors themselves. Today's featured author is Joel Dubin. Joel Dubin is an independent computer security consultant. He is a Microsoft MVP specializing in web and application security, and the author of the new edition of the Little Black Book of Computer Security, available from Amazon. He hosts a regular radio show on computer security on WIIT in Chicago and runs the IT Security Guy blog. Joel, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Billy, for inviting me. Glad to be here.
Joel, tell us about the new sections of the Little Black Book of Computer Security. Why focus on these particular topics?
Well, there's actually three new chapters. It's a total of 60 new pages in total. I actually updated the entire book, added a little bit to each section, but the three new chapters are about auditing, in other words, working with compliance, working with auditors and regulators. The second chapter, new chapter, is on security awareness training, and then the third new chapter is on encryption. I chose those sections because since the first edition was written, there's been a very big, heavy driver toward compliance in many companies, and compliance has dovetailed with security in a lot of ways, and it's brought a lot of new responsibility to IT security managers and IT managers in general. So that's one reason that I emphasize that. Now, the security awareness training piece is sort of a corollary to that because many of the regulations do require company-wide security awareness training so that employees are aware of some of the security issues that they should be on the alert for. So I added a separate chapter on that. I thought that that was really important. I added the encryption chapter because I deliberately didn't put that in the first edition for two reasons. One, I thought it was a little bit too technical, a little bit more beyond the technical level of what I had wanted with the book. And the other reason is that many IT managers and IT security managers are pretty much locked into products that their company offer or various set encryption products, so there isn't really a lot of thought that always has to go into that. But then I kind of had second thoughts on that and thought it's something that people should at least understand, and it's a very, very basic explanation. For instance, the difference between private keys and public keys and about hash algorithms and digital signatures. And then in the other sections, I have some information about mobile security. That's been a very big thing now that many employees are now working remote. They're not working in offices anymore. They're carrying around laptops. They're working with Blackberries and that type of a thing. And then web application security, those threats were a big issue when the first edition came out. Now they've actually become an even bigger issue. So I have a lot of stuff in there about application security. And then I just updated some technology throughout.
Now you'll be reading today from a chapter called Implementing a Security Awareness Training Program. And so for what types of threats would you say is security awareness training most important?
Well, it's really important sort of twofold on two levels. One is the employees themselves. There is still significantly an insider threat where employees themselves, they have actual access to systems. Unlike, say, an outsider or a malicious user, a hacker outside the company, they actually have to work at getting credentials or breaking into the system. An insider doesn't have to do that. They're already there. So that presents sort of two problems. On the one hand, you know, you can have malicious insiders that are deliberately trying to exploit the company and steal data. And then on the other hand, you might have just those that are innocently just doing things that might be unsafe, unsecure practices. And I think that security awareness training teaches employees things that they shouldn't do, things that they should be careful of. For example, you know, not clicking on email attachments that they're not expecting, being careful with things that they might leave out on their desk, being careful to make sure they lock their equipment when they get up. So therefore, I think that the security awareness training is a real big area against protect against those kinds of threats. And then also the non-technical threats, what I would call social engineering, where outsiders come in and try to pretend either by phone or they actually come into the company posing as, say, consultants or posing as UPS or FedEx drivers or something like that and trying to con employees into letting them in and connect up. So it's a good way for employees to understand what types of things that they might not have known about that they should be aware of, and in protecting the employees' access and protecting them from these threats, you're kind of protecting the weakest link in the company there.
When looking at the information security landscape, what do you think has changed the most between the time that you've written the first edition of the Little Black Book of Computer Security and now?
I would say two things have changed. One is that the compliance has become a much, much more oppressive type of issue for companies. Companies now have, in addition to SOX and GLBA, healthcare companies have to worry about HIPAA, H-I-P-A-A, and just about everybody that uses credit cards, which nowadays is just about every company, has to be aware of PCI. That's been a huge, huge driver, and that's for good or for bad. Some people say that, you know, compliance is not a good driver of security in the sense that people are more concerned with complying with the regulation than actually implementing security. The other side of the coin, the way to look at it is that at least companies are becoming aware of security in a way that they weren't before. And then I think the other area, again, is the web application threats. Those continue to pose a big problem for many companies. Web 2.0 technologies, things that now involve things like social networking sites, blogs, all of that, those are very popular technologies, and they, you know, people want to use them, and they do have a place, you know, in a company. And I think the challenge for companies is how to actually integrate those securely so employees can use those, particularly younger employees that are accustomed to using those types of tools will demand to use those types of tools. So it's really unrealistic to just kind of blanket block all of those tools from the enterprise, which is usually the first impulse. So, again, Billy, those are the two areas. I would say the compliance and the application level security are the two real hot buttons for most companies.
Great, Joel. And now, without further ado, reading a selection from Chapter 20, Implementing a Security Awareness Training Program, here's Joel Dubin.
Yes, I'm going to read, again, as Billy said, from Chapter 20, Implementing a Security Awareness Training Program. Training your staff to be aware of security not only forms a best practice, but also can comprise a compliance requirement, as just discussed in Chapter 19, Working with Compliance Auditors and Regulators. Of course, your IT security department will remain the backbone of your security department, but your staff will become the eyes and ears of that program. In some ways, the staff will become your first line of defense. They might be the first ones to spot an attempted attack, incident, or system misuse by a malicious fellow employee. They, not your security staff, will also be the ones most likely to be approached by scheming social engineers trying to sweet-talk their way into your systems. As a result, your staff will also be the most vulnerable to these break-in attempts by such low-tech con artists who make use of their brains rather than hacking tools. Compliance aside, any security awareness program needs to mesh with the business, goals, and structure of your organization. A small firm with a single office will implement training that vastly differs from that of a company with thousands of employees scattered around the globe who speak different languages. When implementing a security awareness training program, then these are the questions to ask. First of all, what is the purpose of the training? Is it for compliance? If so, you'll need to follow the specific requirements of the relevant regulations. Regardless, you might want to implement a program that consists of two tracks, one for your non-technical staff, generally the bulk of your employees, and another that is geared toward your IT department. The two separate training tracks would be tailor-made for your company, its business, and its specific technical needs. So who should deliver this training? A small company with limited resources may have only one option, outsourcing the training by either buying a package or engaging trainers who will arrive in-house to deliver a program. A larger company's training department can sometimes work with the IT security department to obtain content for developing a program in-house. But even a large company may want to buy a computer-based training or CBT or multimedia package to avoid tying up the already busy training and IT security departments. Such packages can be customized with the company's logo, and they come in different languages, which precludes the need to translate for overseas staff and offices. So how will the training be delivered? The training can be offered in a traditional classroom format, recorded on disks as a CBT package, or presented in a web-based format on the corporate intranet. The decision is with the rest of your training program depends on the purpose, scope, and content of the training and on the size of your company and the number of employees who require the training. Remember, regardless of the delivery method, if the training is for compliance, make certain that you maintain a record of who took the training and when. Such a record must be produced on request for auditors and regulators. Purchase packages often come with software for monitoring if and when employees complete the training, and most regulations require annual training for all employees. And then the rest of the chapter, I actually go into some sample content. But basically, as I mentioned, there's two tracks for the training that you should have, one for your non-technical staff, which again is usually the bulk of your employees, and then something for your technical staff who both have more access and might be more demanding in terms of the questions and issues that they might bring up. So,
all right. Thanks very much, Joel. That was author Joel Dubin, independent security consultant and author of the second edition of The Little Black Book of Computer Security. To learn more and to check out our other information security podcasts, visit our podcast page at searchsecurity.com/podcasts. For excerpts from Joel Dubin's new book, check out our information security bookshelf at searchsecurity.com. Thanks, Joel.
Thank you, Billy.
I'm Billy Hurley. Thanks for listening.